There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile live on this Tuesday. Glad to have you along. Live local talk over the next couple of hours. Joining us this hour, Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran is going to be with us. But before we even get started there, let's talk about where we are. And we are at the Cart Doctor today, hanging out right now in the Mobile Command Unit. Trish and Steven are in here. And I know it's always a big deal. Last time I was here, y'all were like, yeah, you just, I'm going to sell this golf cart, that cart, that cart. I mean, it was wild. Thanks for having us back, and let's talk about the deals going on right now at the Cart Doctor.
Go for it, Steven.
All right, well, today we're going to do, if you buy a cart today, 20% off all accessories. So basically, you start off with the base cart, and anything that's added to it, you add to it, we've already added to it, we take 20% off of that.
Okay, so explain to me, like, an accessory. What
headlights, tail lights, rear flip seats, lift kits, tires.
All that stuff that makes them look cool.
Exactly.
Okay, 20% off. Folks come out today. And if people have not been out here, first of all, shame on them. But second of all, give them an idea of the selection of carts. Not just the volume, what brands you carry, those kind of things.
Okay, well, we're a Yamaha dealer, so our number one cart that we sell is a Yamaha. We have gas and electric. So if you haven't seen those, you need to come look at the fuel-injected Yamahas. We have Icon, Timberland, and Star, which are the street legals.
And you've talked about that before. Just because something has side view or rear view mirrors, whatever, does not make it street legal.
Not at all. What makes a street legal cart street legal here in Alabama is a VIN number.
Okay, so just because it has that those attachments to it doesn't make it street legal. So the Timberland, you said, and the Star, those have those VINs.
Mm-hmm. And the Icon. And Timberland, the Star, and Icon and come from the manufacturer with a VIN number.
So they are street legal carts.
Yep. They have everything they need.
Okay, last time I was here, too. Now, this is, you know, I think about carts, I think about batteries, I think about electric. But, Steven, and I saw you riding one again today when I got here. You are hot and heavy on these gas powers.
Oh, yeah, I love gas.
You're talking about the gas powers, and then you started telling me about the range these things get. Walk folks through who have not been around this before.
Well, on the new gas fuel-injected Yamahas, they've got them rated at 240 miles on a tank. The tank's 5.5 gallons.
So you get to Tuscaloosa. You drive to Tuscaloosa and partway back on a tank.
At 20
of gas.
Mile an hour, it'll take you a while, but yeah.
That's unreal. Because hearing them, you don't hear them. I mean, you expect, you know, the sound. Okay, it's a gas engine, it's going to be loud, but it's just, I mean, it's barely a putter.
No, the new Yamaha QuietTechs, what they did is the way they baffled out the exhaust, they've also enclosed the entire engine compartment with sound dampening foam, bring the cool air from the front, like a cold air intake on a truck.
Right.
And exhaust out the bottom up under all the sound protection, and it's only 2 decibels louder than the electrics.
See, I mean, you're hard pressed, y'all, to hear them at all. And that's, you know, like I think about it from, and I know there's so many uses for carts. I think about them from a hunting angle and a sportsman's angle. And often that we're like, no, we want electric because we want to be quiet. These jokers get the range and they're quiet.
Oh, yeah. We're even converting turkey hunters.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, those of us that do that, I mean, that's why we all went to electric, right, to have these quiet. But then you have, you know, the gas ones, like, man, I'm not interested, they're loud. I challenge people to come out here with you and ride around in one of these things. You pulled me away last time. I'm sold on them.
Mm-hmm, and I agree, because I went hunting for the first time this year.
Yes, how was that?
It was an enlightening, I love hunting.
See?
I'm a hunter. But
good.
When I went out, I've been listening for years, guys say, I need an electric cart to hunt.
Mm-hmm.
When I went out there, I'm like, well, okay, I get it. But whether you're driving an electric cart or the new Yamaha QuietTech, that animal is going to hear you regardless.
Well, they hear gravel pop.
Correct. Yeah, and that's what you're going to hear on a gas Yamaha.
Yeah, people get...
It's amazing.
It is. I mean, you said 2 decibels more than the electric.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. No, I mean, this, and y'all hearing us, and he's like, yeah. I mean, come, y'all will give somebody a little test ride around the parking lot in one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. They can drive it wherever they want to drive.
The ground noise is louder than the car.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. And then I talk about the brands you have. Let's talk about the inventory, just the volume. Y'all got them stacked.
We got a couple. We've got more coming. So we've got plenty of gas and electric new Yamahas and used. We've got them new and used.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, we've got a price range on the street legals, just to give people call a lot about that. They're going to range anywhere from $7,000 to $14,000.
Okay. Those are like Tomberlin, Star, Icon.
Icons, yeah.
And what about these Yamahas?
The base model used electric is $3,100. That's with brand new batteries and a new charger. The base model on the gas cart is $3,500 right now.
And, okay, this time of year is probably, you know, I know y'all get a crush of people when it comes hunting season. They're looking for new, mm-hmm. but this time mm-hmm. of year may be the best time for somebody to get out here and check out that next vehicle.
Well, yeah, you're right here at the beginning of the season. You'll be once you get it, you'll drive it year-round down here.
Right.
But, yeah, you'll love it.
But what's exciting is Yamaha decided June 3rd they would start financing their used carts.
Really?
So that's brand
new. So that used cart you were just talking about,
yes.
there's a financing program for that.
Yep. They will.
And so we come in here, we find that cart. Can you put us in touch with Yamaha and get this all
done? We'll fill out an application and get you approved.
Very good. What about somebody who's listening to us that has a cart, is interested in making sure it's running as good as it can, or maybe seeing, you know, what they can upgrade to? Do they come, call, bring it in? How's that work?
No appointment necessary. I mean, just bring it in. And then you'll just check it in, and then we'll put you in line, and we'll go from there.
Okay. What do people need to know who have not been around a cart? We talked about the gas and all that, but not been around for a year, 2, 3 years. When they come out here, what do you want them to look at?
Well, we've always been, it's your cart. We want to sell you what you want, not what we want to sell.
Right.
So first thing we'll do is we'll just ask them, how do you want to use the cart? You know, what's your long-term, what's your plans for it?
Right.
And then depending on the answers, you know, we'll say, okay, this right here will fit your needs better, and this is why. I mean, it's all about somebody just showing up, finding out what they're here to find out. What do they need to know?
And you can advise them. Once they tell you mm-hmm. what they want to do with it, you know the things they need to
right.
make that happen.
I'll give you the pros and cons of both, however you want to hear it.
What about, we talked about the accessory deals going on today. If somebody has a cart, y'all have got accessories for those carts as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, if they got a cart and they want to come in and get it, I may not have it in stock
right.
because of so many variations of carts, but I can order it and I'll still give you the 20% off today.
Right, that's great. What's the most popular? Like, what do people come in? What do they want to do to their cart more than anything else?
Headlights, taillights, and rear flip seat.
Yeah.
The rear flip seat's a good thing.
Yeah.
Because
mm-hmm.
you're always going to have some people want to ride.
Well, now right now it's summertime, so mom wants to take the kids to the pool.
Mm-hmm.
That's the big push. Mom wants to take the kids to the pool, or dad wants to hang out and drive to the pool.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing. So that's happening.
Means you're going to have company on the car.
So, yeah. So you need headlights, taillights, and a rear flip seat.
Those and there's those rear flip seats, those are, I mean, sat in one the other day. Those are comfortable.
Like yeah.
Yeah.
I mean. Barca lounger in the back there.
Well, not that comfortable, but yeah.
And, okay. So people come out today. Tell folks, if they have not been here, how to find y'all.
All right. From I-10, we're exit 15A. You're going to go 1 mile west on Highway 90. We're on the left.
All right. It would happen to be the place with all the carts.
Yes.
But you'd be surprised how many people miss that fact.
If y'all look, you're heading down the left side of the road. Yeah, when there's a pile of carts and the FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Command Unit, you know you're in the right place. All right. We're going to hook you up with more goodies. I know the folks from Monroe Sausage are grilling sausage dogs. Did y'all have some of that sausage yet?
Not yet.
Just wait. Get ready for great sausage dogs, and hopefully they have some more of the bacon like they did the other day. That bacon is fantastic. So come out and grab lunch with us. Hang out. I know we got some waters for y'all to drink. And FM Talk, what is it? I brought the library today, and when Dalton gets here, I'm going to have him set up the library. I brought a bunch of books that we get doubles of and triples of at the station. Some good books, bestsellers, and y'all stop on by and pick out a book and look at a card. So, and you can have Stephen drive you around and then read the book. And it won't even disturb you because the gas is only 2 decibels.
Louder than our electrics.
Y'all come check it out. Cart Doctor today with FM Talk 106.5. We're coming right back. Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran joins us next.
is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile, live from the Cart Doctor in Theodore. Love for you to stop on by and say hello. Like I said, we've got all kind of FM Talk 106.5 goodies, plus our friends with Monroe Sausage, grilling sausage dogs up front, and 20% off all accessories. You buy a new cart here at Cart Doctor, whether it's the rear flip seat, the you want to get it lifted, you get the headlights, the tail lights, all the accessories, 20% off today. And I'm also reminded that it is the second Tuesday of the month, because I see Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran joining us right here in the FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Command Unit. Thanks for stopping by.
Glad to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
There we go. I got the finally get the right mic on.
Yeah, glad to be here.
And a lot to talk about right now. End of legislative session. And I know we talk about law enforcement stuff every time you're in here every month. But part of law enforcement is what laws are passed by the legislative branch.
Yes, what laws are passed and maybe what laws are not passed. Mm-hmm. We have an interest in all of the laws regarding the criminal justice system. Some are good, some are bad, so we encourage the passage of some and discourage the passage of others. One that we encouraged the passage of this year was the one to make the knowingly possessing a stolen firearm a Class C felony. It had dropped to a misdemeanor a couple of years ago when they reclassified some of the laws, and we just felt like that was not sufficient to discourage these thieves from stealing guns and possessing stolen guns and trafficking in stolen guns.
Okay, let's go back to talk about what it was like before so we can talk about the impact of this. Because you said this with us before. If it, the average handgun, you take the value of that gun that's stolen, and if it's below, what is the cap?
Like $1,000 or something. And okay, if it's below $1,000, it's a misdemeanor. But if it's over $1,000, then it'd be a felony. But
there's not a lot
years
of
ago, it was, yeah, if it was a gun, a stolen gun was automatically a felony. But they took that out several years ago in some of this revitalizing some of the criminal justice system to kind of decrease the prisoners in prison, right, or something. But it had an ill effect on us, we believe, because it set up the ability to traffic firearms, and that's what we've had going on the last few years, is a high level of trafficking stolen firearms. And we just had to do something about it. You know, we've had police officers and citizens killed with these stolen guns, and many of them are, you know, just buying and selling guns, and that's become the go-to thing to steal because so many people were leaving them in their vehicles and even in unlocked vehicles.
Now, and there, before this changed, there was really no difference in a stolen TV or a stolen handgun. It was all based on the...
That's right. Yeah,
I mean, it didn't matter. I mean, if you busted them with TVs or busted them with handguns...
Handguns.
It was done on the dollar value of that gun,
yes,
or that TV.
That's correct.
So there were no additional teeth to the fact that it was a gun.
That's exactly right.
And so that's changed.
That's changed.
Now, so how does it work now? How do y'all do
now,
it
now? Now you can go to prison if you get caught knowingly with a stolen stolen firearm. And that'll be in effect October 1. But this week, if you get caught with a $750 stolen gun, most we could charge you with would be a misdemeanor.
So, wow. So, if we had a $750 value, whatever, it would be the same as that being a gun.
That's exactly right.
So that changes. So what is that? Is it one of those things that actually helps y'all take people off the streets, or is it the threat of it? I mean, you know,
well, we'd
lay out what the reality is on this.
We'd like to think it's the threat of it, that they know that they're going to get a felony. And probably the first offense, it was first felony, they're probably not going to go to the penitentiary or nothing. They're going to get probation or something. But because they've been convicted of that felony, they will not be able to legally possess another firearm the rest of their life. And so that's a big plus for us because, you know, people that are committing crimes and stealing guns, they don't really abide by the law. So we want that big hammer then. You know, we can charge them in federal court if they're possessing a firearm after being convicted of a felon.
I mean, do you think when this word gets out, I mean, crime is still crime. People will, I mean, since time of the Bible, people stole stuff. But, I mean, somebody's going to a car and they're going to say, well, there's a stereo thing or an iPhone, there's a gun, there's a this or that, they may not pick up that gun.
Well, it's just one of the tools in our tool bag as a deterrence. And we didn't want to, you know, criminalize the victims or anything. Or,
right,
you know, there was a discussion about doing something against the victims for leaving the guns there. Well, that would be just wrong. So we've gotten this passed. But the other good news of the week that Director Barber put out was that since, we've been talking about this, I've spoke about this on your show,
right,
months and months,
right,
about get people to remove their guns or at least lock their cars up, and we've done a bunch of public service announcements. Our radio stations and TVs have been good and supportive with us. He reported this week that the thefts of guns out of vehicles are down 40% this time compared to this time last year.
Year to year, 40%.
40%. So that is a fantastic thing. That tells us that our citizens, or at least some of them, are heeding our advice, listening to us, and making both themselves and the rest of us safer. Because, as they say, you know, you're leaving a loaded weapon in your car, maybe just 20 or 30 feet from your home, yeah, to where they could come in your house with your own gun and use it against you.
Yeah, I mean, there's the thinking about the community as a whole, but then there's just the preservation of you and your family.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, this is good. So there's actually two parts to this, changing this. There's the changing hearts and minds, and not even changing hearts and minds, probably reminding folks, hey.
Changing habits,
mm-hmm, okay? That's on the positive side for, you know, the law abiders out there, making sure, yeah, let me go check that. Let me hit the beep, beep thing on the truck one more time to make sure it's locked up, or mm-hmm, bring that gun in and put it in a safe place in the house. And then there's the other side. If these jokers get them, now all of a sudden, very soon, they're going to be looking at a felony.
That's exactly right. So it's really working out on both things, because we need the people to support us. I mean, I know they shouldn't be a victim. You shouldn't have to worry about somebody stealing something out of your personal property. As you said, crimes have been around since the time of the Bible, right, and we know that's going to continue. So we do need people to help us protect themselves and help us to protect them.
You know, and if you're just joining us, talking to Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran, it's your chance to ask the sheriff. So if you do have a question, you can hop on the line. I know Philip will give me that information. Or if you want to text us, you can always text the same number, 343-0106, 343-0106. Well, this is, let's hope, you know, this trend, I mean, this is a year-to-year trend.
Uh-huh.
You know, and just to be, I mean, it could be an anomaly, but let's hope it's not. If this is a turnaround, because there's, I mean, I do this every week. We report, yeah, so many stories, like you said, violence against citizens, violence against officers, mm-hmm, and there it is in paragraph two. The stolen gun.
Yeah, the stolen gun became more of a valuable asset to sell on the streets than stolen iPhones and other things. You know, several years ago we had a problem with phones being stolen and all, mm-hmm, like that. Of course, again, technology probably helped out on that, where they lock people out,
yeah,
and you can find
that phone and, yeah,
and stuff like that. But so also no value to the thief, but that gun is worth a lot of money to that thief.
Y'all have talked about this. Heck, I've seen the actual accounting. It's not just, I know there are some crimes of opportunity or onesie-twosies, but you're talking about rings. You've talked to me, and I know Director Barber's talked to me about gun theft rings. Y'all use the word ring. Like,
yeah,
it's organized, it's planned, it's this is a thing that was going on.
Yeah, well, just this week, in part of the Mobile PD's murder investigation, they show three individuals walking down a neighborhood prowling with cars and stuff. And then we put out on a news release last week, we had an individual on Grand Bay Wilmer Road, mm-hmm, doing the same thing with a gun in his hand, going from car to car trying to find something, but he already was armed. And so, you know, the police department's put out the information that the victim of this latest homicide probably interrupted them breaking into his automobile and was shot and killed. And I'll bet you anything that if they catch the person and recover the gun, you're going to find out that gun was stolen too, used in the homicide.
Yeah, that's a scary thing too, because I'll have people say, I mean, they're frustrated by crime.
Mm-hmm.
They want to, I mean, somebody's stealing from them. They're going to, you know, confront that person. But you got to remember, these people that are doing this, these are criminals by trade, and maybe a criminal who would just kill you.
That's right. Many of them are desperate. Many of them are drug addicts and desperate, and some of them are just sociopaths.
Yeah, which, and I mean, what do you do with those people other than
lock them up? All you can do is lock them up forever if it's a sociopath, true sociopath.
All right, some of these questions around this. Number one, this texter says, so knowingly possessing a, so explain that.
A lot of people have been fearful that they're going to buy a gun from somebody and all of a sudden they don't know it's stolen and then we're going to arrest them. And that's just not the way the law works. We have to prove that you had knowledge that it was stolen. If you say, look, I've got a bill of sale, I bought it from this guy, I'll go show you this guy, I've got all that. Well, Bob and I were out there.
Bob said, hey, I'm selling that SIG I've got. You want to buy that pistol? Yeah, sure. Okay, let me.
Yeah, and he sells it to you. But now if he sells it to you for $50 and it's a SIG,
right,
we're going to say, come on now, you know there's a catch here, that he wouldn't be selling a $9,000 gun for $50. So we've got to present some type of evidence. And it's sort of a similar argument that people used to be fearful about guns in vehicles, and if you don't have a pistol permit and your wife rides, you've got to still show constructive possession. If the husband, that's my husband's gun, and I can show you and he can tell you that, you know, we wouldn't arrest you on something like that. So it's the people that are against these laws, but they make up some bad information. But no, we've got to knowingly prove, and the way we knowingly prove is maybe somebody you know, sold it to you for $25, $50, or it's with two or three others, you bought three or four of them or something like that.
Right.
They're all stolen. And or we run serial number on it, and it was just taken the night before, you know,
right,
out of a car, and you've got it the next day.
But, yeah, because people are asking, okay, with private gun sales and all that. So if you're using common sense and you can, you know, make sure you get the name of the person you bought it from and all those things, that if something happened, you can say, hey, listen, I bought this from Sam. He and I go to the gun club together. He sold me this pistol.
That's exactly right. And I can't speak for the DA's office, but they have some policies there that if it's older than like a year or 2 years old stolen, they won't charge you with receiving stolen property.
All right. So that hopefully
all is taken into consideration.
Good, because there's quite a few questions people had on that. I'll tell you what, when we come back from the break, I want to get into a couple other things. Number one, with, summertime, I know it's not officially here on the calendar, but step outside and tell me it's not. And snapper season open. You know, you and I both guys would like to go chase fish in the Gulf. You got some advice here for float clams and those kind of things. We'll get into that and a whole lot more. And your questions for Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran. When we come back, we are live at the Card Doctor. It's Midday Mobile, and this is FM Talk 106.5. Come see us.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. We are live at the Cart Doctor in Theodore. Dalton is here as well, so stop on by and say hello to the whole crew. I know Celeste and the Monroe Sausage crew up there where they are grilling sausage dogs. Had some yesterday, and y'all are missing out. Come get lunch with us, and while you're here, check out what's new. Seriously, if you've not ridden in one of these Yamaha gas-powered carts, I have my ideas, because just like they were kind of joking at the beginning of the segment, or beginning of the hour, that hunters, you know, we all went to these battery-powered deals because we wanted to have something, you know, quiet through slipping through the woods. Now they've got these gas carts so darn quiet. It's pretty darn close to what it would be like riding in one of those battery powers. So come check them out. We're here in Theodore at the Cart Doctor. All right, and we continue our conversation. We do this once a month, and it's your chance to ask the sheriff, as Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran in with us. And when we, if people have more questions, I'll check the text line on some of the changes and what this, somebody was asking, when does this change with the stolen handguns kick in? Is it the start of the fiscal year, or when is this?
October 1.
Okay.
Very soon.
Okay, October 1st. And then I wanted to ask you one more thing, too. There was another law that we had talked about several times here, and I know Representative Chip Brown had backed this, about compelling or changing how judges dealt with repeat offenders that were out on bond from a previous crime.
That's right. The some of our judges say that the defendants have a constitutional right to a bond in all cases except for capital murder cases. And sometimes they could be out on a slew of offenses and commit another murder, and maybe not a capital murder, and have a bond set. And so some of the judges said, well, if you don't like the law, change the law. Of course, we think it's sort of an interpretation. However, those of us in law enforcement in the district attorney's office proposed a law, and Representative Brown introduced the bill, and it worked it all the way through, but it died on the last day. And that would have just given, in certain instances, judges the ability to hold somebody without a bond if they had, you know, were a threat to society or out on serious offenses and multiple offenses.
So that did not pass.
Did not pass.
Okay, I'm going to have you raise that mic up a little bit here. There you go. And I want to take some calls here. Jim is in Malbus. You're on with Sheriff Cochran.
Hello. I've got two questions I'd like to ask, and if you can cover it for me. One of them is the window of a stolen gun. If I were to have purchased a gun and took it to carry to get my permit and found out that the gun was stolen or had not a good history to it, what would happen to the gun? What would happen to me? I mean, what would I have to do to prove that I bought it? Even if I bought it a couple of years ago and I just never toted it, and I decided now I want to carry it. In other words, can you kind of give me the timeline where I would be in trouble? Would the guy that sold it to me be in trouble? And what would happen to the gun itself if it turned out that it fell within a certain window? Would you take the gun, or would I be able to keep the gun? And my second question before you answer that one is, if I'm in a company vehicle and they don't allow a gun to be carried in it, and something happens to me with a gun in it, would the police department have any kind of recourse against me other than the company itself for carrying the gun as long as I was legal? I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Okay, if you had a gun and it was stolen, we found it, we would seize the gun because it's stolen, and we would return it to the rightful owner if we could reach the rightful owner. And I'm sure we would, because we'd have records of it unless right. They'd moved enough, no forwarding address, but we'd still find them. So the gun would go back to them. If it had been more than a couple of years, of course, we'd ask you, where did you get it, and try to find out how reliable you were on that. And then the decision would be up to the district attorney in your county whether or not they prosecute receiving stolen property cases. And a lot of that would come to do with how long it's been since it was stolen and factually what you're saying. If we felt like you just honestly bought it, had no idea, certainly the law enforcement would not pursue criminal charges. But again, the district attorneys have policies where they will not prosecute after a gun is stolen and it's been stolen for a long period of time. And I've heard things. I wished I'd have asked the district attorney what the current policy is. I remember at one time they didn't like to go past a year. Okay. But so if he said like 2 years, the chances are likely, you know, if everything else lined up, he still wouldn't be prosecuted. But again, we understand, and a lot of it would have to do with your honesty and how much you paid for it.
Right.
You know, you've obviously paid 10 cents on a dollar. We think you probably knew it was stolen. But and he made mention of when he came in to carry something. We don't get the serial numbers off your guns when you get a carry permit. In fact, we don't want you to bring the gun in the building because it's right. a government building. But there's really no way to check. And unfortunately, we're not allowed to run a check on a gun, although I think it's done from time to time, to let you know if a gun is stolen, you know, because people would be trying to get a good deal and want to call us constantly and do it, but it's just not. The criminal system we use is designed for investigations and not for the public's use.
Is that info out there in a public forum?
About the stolen guns? Some of the pawn shops may have access to some stolen databases.
I'm thinking of entrepreneurs out there to be able to get an access to that information, have a website where somebody can log in for $5 or whatever and run serial numbers on a...
I don't know that it is. It would be nice on the one hand, but then I'd have to think that through, because that could be setting up the opportunity for somebody to traffic in guns when they'd say, look, I can sell you this gun. It's not in the system.
Right.
Even though it's stolen, I'll sell it to you at a good price.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, we have, like, I know it's different, but you can go on with a car on, like, a Carfax or something, right?
Has
it been in Iraq? Has it done this, that, and the other? Is it stolen, you know?
Yeah.
You can...
His other question about if he had a permit, but the employer says he could not carry a gun in the car or in the work car or something, that's strictly between him and the employer. It has no effect on the criminal law.
And I think you mentioned a second ago, but I need to go back to this. As much as we've done this over the years, people, and this is fine, because if they've never had a concealed carry permit before, they have no reason to know. But the concealed carry permit is for us, not for the handgun. It's for the person.
Yeah, it's for the person. It's not for the individual handgun. You could have one permit and carry
a different
gun every day of the week. You know, and you probably have that many guns, Sean.
I probably don't have one. Probably don't have even know which end of them to mash a bullet in. But it is, people always ask that, hey, what guns do you ever, you don't register a actual gun.
Mm-hmm.
That's issued to us showing that.
You're law-abiding and have had a record check, right. And you can carry a concealed weapon on your person or in your automobile loaded. Ready to go.
Yeah, it doesn't mean we can only carry this handgun or that handgun.
That's
it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
All right. We mentioned this going into the break, and this is prime time for this. We'll be talking next hour, actually, about the upcoming Alabama D.C. Fishing Rodeo with the crews coming out here. Float plans. This is something we talk about in the fishing world all the time, and I got to say, I don't have a perfect track record of doing this.
Sure. Yeah. You know, the sheriff's office, part of the sheriff's office is the Mobile County Sheriff's Flotilla, and they perform search and rescue and recovery when people are lost in the waters. And frequently they get called out to search for missing boaters, and it happens all the time, and occasionally have to search and find and recover someone that's deceased. But it is very, very helpful to them, as to you and your family members, if you would leave a float plan on the dash of your vehicle where you launch your boat from. Now, you can get a float plan, just a one-page copy, off of our website. We can link to our mobilecountyso.com, or you can click the link from Facebook to go to there, and it'll pull up a PDF that you can download and fill the information out, put a print a few of them out, put them in your truck or you whatever you pull your boat with, and just throw it on the dash. Say where you kind of give a general idea of where you're going.
You know, I mean, you're not looking for. I'm not going to give you the lat long.
No, we're not going to give you a snapper.
My snapper spot.
No, we're not going to give you that. But you know, if you're going out in the Gulf, or you may be going speck trout fishing somewhere in inland bays, or you may be up the river. You know, if you launch up the river in the Delta somewhere, there's so many different directions you could go there.
Yep.
And maybe what time you're expecting to be back, before dark, or maybe you're going to be gone overnight. Let us know, because sometimes your deputies or police could patrol the launches and see a vehicle left there with a trailer all night and think, uh-oh, maybe something's happened. But if they see a float plan, says, I'll be gone all night.
Yeah.
Well, no unnecessary search maybe would be conducted. And same thing on some of these people that do river floats in the canoes and stuff. It's just I think 2-3 weeks ago we helped rescue some stranded boaters that were going down to Escatawba or something, and it got dark and they were lost and they had trouble getting cell service out to say where they were, and eventually we got somebody's cell and was able to pinpoint it and go in there and rescue them.
Yeah, I don't know their situation. You just keep on going downstream there, but I mean, this is an issue that, I mean, y'all deal with every year. I mean, no matter what we say, y'all are going to deal with this.
Yeah, we deal with all around Dauphin Island, mm-hmm. and along the bay, and then, of course, we deal with it up the river, in the river delta. And lots of boats this time of the year going out early and late.
I don't know. It's good because, I mean, we not as much now, but I used to go for multiple nights. We'd work mm-hmm. islands heading west and be gone, you know, for two nights. And if you saw that truck, two nights with the trailer, that might be worrisome. All right, from the text line here. Explain harassing communications or harassing or how I say harassing communications arrest. It seems to be a very common arrest. What does that entail? What is a harassing communication?
Well, you've got to have harassment. And harassing communications is basically using a phone to constantly call somebody after they've told you to quit calling them and just.
Oh wait, I got some people trying to sell me an extra extended warranty on my vehicle.
Yeah, I think you have to not have a business relationship with them or something like that. But it's generally where you know someone is calling to make threats, and you've told them don't call anymore, and it's generally related to. Relationships, domestic, whether it be domestic or sometimes bad businesses or something like relationships that way through a business or something. But when it's intended to do annoying and to inconvenience you by over and over calling you and making threats, and it's usually pretty cut and dry when someone can show how many times you've called, what time you've called. Oftentimes it could be text, and you show the text what they're texting, and then you have to go before a magistrate and sign a warrant and have them arrested.
Okay, so that's something that they would contact y'all before. You would look at this. Here they are. Here's the records.
Yeah, we would have to write up an offense report, and they would have to go appear before a magistrate and swear under oath about it. But generally they have pretty good information with technology this day and time. But occasionally there can be harassing communications, and you don't know who it's coming from. You know, we get those type things.
Right. Yeah, with all the
sometimes we can try to get through, but it's a long process. We have to subpoena the different information from Google or whomever, and even then, sometimes you can't never get to the bottom of it.
Well, I mean, I don't want to like give out secrets, and not that I know them, but y'all've got some. You got some technology that you can bring to bear in a lot of situations.
We do, and we can run a lot of it to ground.
All right. Coming right back, more with Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran. Your chance to ask the sheriff. We are live at Cart Doctor and Theodore. Come see us.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 live from Cart Doctor. Going to be here till 2 o'clock. Stop on by and grab lunch. Folks from Monroe Sausage are here grilling up sausage dogs. We've got great deals on carts, both electric and gas, and accessories today. And we have a big bucket full of FM Talk 106.5 goodies. I know that it's sitting here in the van. We're going to move this out here in just a second. We've got a library full of books to hand out. And at some point, you know, I've been talking about Harry's and shaving with Harry's razors for a long time. I actually brought a Harry's gift set with me, a shave set from Harry's. I'm going to give that away before we finish up here at 2 o'clock. So I'll give you a shot to see exactly what I'm talking about when you come by and pick up this gift set. All right, continue our conversation like we do at least once a month with Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran. And I appreciate you coming out here on location.
Sure, glad to be here. Glad to see this area of the county.
Yeah, you want this? Yeah, part of the circuit here. And
yeah.
I want to ask you something about this time of year. This is something we've talked about in the past, but this time of year is when we worry about petty crimes and stuff going up with the, I mean, I wish I could say it differently, but school's out and...
Well, yeah, a number of things contribute to it. School's out, so you have some students that are also have sticky hands. You know, you've got that, but you've got a lot of families that are going on vacation a week, 2 weeks at a time, and, more times than what you would expect, neighbors in your neighborhood are the ones that are the thieves. They watch you, they see you go and all like that. Probably, you know, 30% sometimes of your burglars are going to be somebody that lives around you, and they watch you coming and going, and they know you gone on vacation. And
how many times have you made those? Okay, in all your years with PD and Sheriff's Department, have you made a bust where the person that burglarized the home lives somewhere in that neighborhood?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Several times.
I wonder what that's like when they return home and they realize there's
that
a person.
Was, yeah, one of their neighbors, sure. Wow. And a lot of times, maybe another neighbor may see the neighbor breaking in and tell the neighbor when they come home from their vacation, hey, I saw who did it. So and so came in. And, you know, they may not call the police, but when the neighbors return, they'll tell them who it was.
So what do folks do in this world to make themselves a little safer this time of year?
Well, you know, so many people have gone to these new security systems, especially cameras, and the Ring device is really popular, and there's other copycat or other devices where to put on, and those are actually very, very good. And you know, you can have recorded, and you can also, you know, you can be at Disney World and it'll notify you that someone just came up to your front door, back door, or somebody walked through your field, and that's how we're catching so many more people. Maybe it might not be your house, but if they broke into your house, they probably walked in front of your neighbor's house, who may have a camera system, and so there we have pictures of either them or the vehicle, or somebody sitting in the vehicle, you know, idling, waiting for somebody to come back to the vehicle. So we get all kinds of tips like that, and it's very beneficial. Not everybody perhaps can afford a security system, but it sure helps
people.
They're
coming down in price.
They've come way down in price.
Yeah, and I've seen how y'all working and trying to find a suspect in something that maybe it's the house that they tried to open the door and it didn't open.
That's right.
Okay, and it wasn't the house that house didn't get burglarized, but now two houses down did. If somebody hears something like that, it's worth them checking that video and seeing.
Absolutely. That's part of, you know, the normal process of a detective. Some of the...
Because y'all are interested in that. So if
absolutely.
I got a video of somebody trying to open the door and it didn't open, they didn't take anything, but they tried to open my door and didn't open, you...
That's right, and that's on our website. Again, we have a feature called My Neighborhood, where you can look in your neighborhood surrounding areas and show crimes that are reported every 24 to 48 hours. And so if you see it, you can click on it, and it'll tell you what type of crime, whether it's an auto burglary, whether it's a residential burglary, this or that. And you may say, well, hey, do you have information on it? You can click on it and say, I have information on this case, and you can provide information that'll go to the agency that is investigating that crime.
And that's something that you talk about, just being a good neighbor.
Being a good neighbor, yes, watching out for your neighbors. And that we encourage neighbors to get to know neighbors. And, you know, that's how some of your, you know, neighborhood organization groups, if you can get people to know each other and, you know, once you know somebody, you're willing to kind of say, hey, John, somebody's over at your house.
Yeah.
But if I don't know you, I don't want you to think I'm being nosy, you know, and you'd say, no, I appreciate you being nosy, especially when we're out of town.
No joke. From the text line, okay. See if I get this right. I think you probably know the answer, but confiscated guns. I guess he's talking about guns that y'all have picked up on the crime scene or whatever that you don't find the rightful owner. Does the sheriff's department ever do a surplus sale of the firearms?
No, we don't sell any firearms ourselves. If the guns, well, when they're saying surplus, say 40 to 50% of the people that have the guns stolen don't record the serial numbers, and so therefore we recover guns that we can't prove are stolen, but we don't know who the owners are. And so that's maybe what they're talking about, what we do. We have those guns condemned. If they're of any value, like a good gun, we can actually have it condemned to the sheriff's office use, and we would trade that in or something on a gun that we issue our officers.
All right, so but there's not, this guy's asking, but,
yeah, we don't never sell guns, and we're not a firearms licensed dealer.
Speaking of that, would the how are we looking? You said 40% reduction. If people weren't listening earlier, 40% reduction right now, at least according to Director Barber, and guns stolen out of vehicles. What about the big thefts? We've seen some of those around the country, and even in our area. You know, the big gun heist and things like that. Have those slowed down? Or those? I know that those, that's more of a federal thing, but
yeah, those cycle. It seems like you like say a gun shop gets hit,
right?
And
should they run a vehicle through a side of a wall?
Right,
and
get 20, 30 long arm rifles or something. I think we had one a while back on Schillinger's Road. They busted in six or seven suspects came in, and unfortunate for them, the gun shop had locked all the guns up in safes and everything, and all the glass cases were empty. They ran in and like,
wow.
And boom. So that was beneficial. But there are some gun shops, obviously, are not as precautionary about that and lose guns.
Because we've seen those stories over time, and sometimes where they get a whole bunch of guns at
one
time.
Exactly. A whole bunch, several thousand dollars of assault rifles and things of that nature. So those thefts are cyclable, it seems like, and I think a lot of those are traveling gangs or people that move from one city to the next and scope out the different things. And in different, you know, different areas of the country are tighter and some are looser with how they secure their weapons.
That's
you know, a lot of guns are stolen in house burglaries. And, you know, once again, I think that the gun safes are slowly coming down in price probably. And for those that can afford it, you know, either you pay a huge additional on your insurance premium to cover all your guns or just get a good safe.
From
you know who and put your guns in it, save you
a lot. Right to say Mike Ward's Liberty Safes. Yeah. So and you know, one of the things there it's nice is because I have not gone to the punch pad of have a dial on mine still that I'm the only family member that can figure out the combination, so nobody
four times left, three times right, two times.
I'm talking about the other adult in the house. She can't figure, so it's stuff stays in there, which means you do have to run home to get stuff on occasion. But all right, remind folks if they want to check you out online, get the app, all those kind of things.
Yeah, follow us on Facebook, download the Team Sheriff app. We have Instagram and we have Twitter, and if you want to keep up with the news tips and you want to help us identify criminals, we post criminals. We have Thug Thursdays, Felon Fridays. If you think your neighbor's wanted for something, look up on our website, see if he's wanted or got a warrant on us, let us know. We keep it confidential and we'll pick up your problem neighbor.
Yeah, that's one of those things too that people often know of something but they don't. They're in fear of reporting something and being ID'd as the person that reported them.
That's right. And sometimes we don't know where they're at, obviously, where we already got them. So if they know, a lot of these criminals move around quite a bit. And so they may know that it's so-and-so's nephew who's been in and out of prison. If they think, hey, he's home again, he's been gone for a while, I wonder if he's wanted, check it, let us know, and we'll come to the rescue.
There you go. Well said. Sheriff, thanks for your time.
Sean, as always, thank you and your listeners.
All right. We're coming right back. More of Midday Mobile. We are live at the Card Doctor in Theodore. Come see us.